Please turn with me in your Bibles here this evening to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. That's the name of the book, Deuteronomos in Greek. And it's the people are perched on the verge of the promised land. It's the second generation of Israelites. And Moses confronts them, challenging them as to who they depend on for each and every aspect of their life. And chapter 8 is especially telling. Moses tells them to remember and never forget that it is God and God alone who watches over and cares for them. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll read the entire chapter here tonight, so beginning at verse 1. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord as it is read for you tonight. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. May his Holy Spirit bless it to our hearts and our minds here this evening. I draw your attention to our text for tonight, verses 17 and 18. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Let's ask God's guiding hand upon his word as it's brought forth this evening. Heavenly Father, we do indeed give thanks that even with your people of old, the people of the Old Testament, ready to enter into the promised land, that we too today still need to be reminded of where our daily bread comes. Father, we thank you for being that heavenly Father who gives us all these earthly things. But we pray, may we not forget about you. May we indeed remember and believe that it is you who watches over us every moment of each day. May you hear our prayer. May you lead us and guide us ever closer to you, even with these words. Heavenly Father, send your Spirit upon us in rich measure. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the prayer that our Lord taught his disciples to pray is a God-centered prayer from beginning to end. And by that I mean each petition, each of the six petitions of the Lord's Prayer has us focusing upon the Lord. The first three petitions, as we've studied them now together, remind us of God's providential care over our every earthly need, his sovereignty in our lives, his great holiness, his purity, his blessings. And those last three petitions remind us then, as we go about our daily lives, of who it is that we're living for. Not for ourselves, but for this Lord who watches over us and holds us in the hollow of his hand. And so tonight we begin our study of those last three petitions. And tonight, centering on that fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. Well, beloved, it's good to know, interesting to note, that down through church history there have been some who have wanted to say that this fourth request of the prayer for daily bread, well, is best understood in a purely, strictly spiritual way. That earthly bread is exactly that, too earthly to be asking God about, too materialistic for us to spend time in our prayers with a transcendent God. In other words, God doesn't really care about our earthly needs. He's only cared about our soul. But beloved, we should not overly spiritualize this fourth petition. We should remember that God created us to be physical beings, material beings, and that he is concerned not only with our soul's well-being, but also with our body's well-being. Do not forget, congregation, that Holy Scripture repeatedly tells us that God's redemptive plan, in the end, involves the recreation of both heaven, the spiritual realm, and this earth, the material realm. And this means then that even in our perfected, resurrected state, we will still be material creatures with earthly bodily needs. So God does care about our physical well-being. And we need to know all that, beloved, because with this fourth petition, our focus now moves from God's high and holy and exalted place in glory, spoken of in the first three petitions, where we extol God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will, to now our consideration of God's care over our physical state. So, yes, you can say that this request is for ourselves, and yet it is a request for ourselves to be given the physical strength and ability to be God glorifying in every aspect of our life. In other words, bringing this high and holy and transcendent God down into our lives each and every day. Our sovereign and majestic God remains the goal, even of our prayer for daily bread. And so in essence, congregation, that is exactly what Moses is commanding the Israelites to remember in our scripture passage for tonight. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, poised as the people are to finally enter into the promised land after those 40 years of wilderness wanderings out in the deserts of Sinai, Moses has three essential commands for the people of Israel. All three of them involve the great and the mighty work of the Lord God. And all three impact the people's proper response in faith to God's great work in their life. So we want to examine these here this evening as well. That takes us to the first point of the message this evening. So Moses, in verses 2 through 5, commands the people to remember what God did with them in the past. What God did with them in the past. Start at verse 1 of chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. Now stop there, congregation. Moses wants the people to never forget that those 40 years which they spent out there in that desert were not just a giant waste of their time, that they were just killing time waiting to finally get into the promised land, that God really didn't know much what to do with his people when they rebelled against him, so he just let them wander aimlessly hither and yon. No, not at all. This was a purposeful test, Moses tells the people, of dependence. Who would they depend upon? Moses says in verse 2, notice that God was specifically testing their hearts. He was testing them, training them to look beyond the earthly to the eternal. In this dry and dusty and forsaken place, who were they going to trust in for their survival? Who would they think is in charge of their life? Themselves? I'll take care of myself, pull myself up by my own bootstraps and make it in this world? Or would they trust in the Lord? Notice also from verse 2, Moses states that the desert was intended by God to humble them. Humble them. To more easily reveal their heart, to show them their complete and utter dependence upon the Lord God Almighty. In verse 3, Moses reminds the people that the power to sustain life does not ultimately rest in physical bread, but in God himself. For real life is found in the Word of God alone. Moses emphasizes this because he knows that this is often the hardest lesson for earthbound creatures to finally learn. How they should not worry about, be anxious about, as our Lord put it in his Sermon on the Mount, but to pursue spiritual things above all else. This is why Moses mentions what he does in verse 4, how in those 40 years of wilderness wanderings, the clothing of the Israelites never wore out in 40 years, nor did your foot swell, notice Moses says, meaning they never had to go barefoot in a desert. Their sandals never wore out, in other words. See, these were miraculous provisions from Almighty God. And Moses says, this is proof that you need not worry about where you'll get your food tomorrow. And think of Moses himself on top of Mount Sinai when he first received the Ten Commandments. Holy Scripture tells us that he was there for 40 days and 40 nights, neither eating nor drinking. Now, normally, the human body will expire in 7 to 10 days if it takes in no liquids. But Moses' physical needs, you see, were being miraculously taken care of by God. So don't get hung up on these physical things. Serve the Lord with gladness, and he will take care of all your material needs in the way that he sees best. If I can relate to you another story from my own life, our own life, my wife and I, and those years when we were in school, Denise and I experienced God's care, daily care for us. It was especially driven home one day when our son Carl, who was about 8 years old at the time, came home with a note from school. He needed new shoes. They had put a new gym floor in. They had just refinished it, and none of the kids could go in there with their street shoes. They all had to bring to school new shoes to wear in the new gym. So he desperately needed a new pair of shoes. They cost about $20. We didn't have $2. Where were we going to get new shoes for our son? But that very week that that note came home from school, another note, a card was sent to us from church members of our old church, just a note of encouragement. But in that card, there was also a check. And how much do you think that check was? Not 50, not 10, $20. Exactly what we needed for that week to get shoes for our son. You see, God is always faithful for his people. And whatever way we can best learn that lesson, never forget that tremendous truth. That is what we should ask, pray to God and ask for, that he would do that in our life. Help us to remember this. Do whatever it takes to have us remember this. But as we learned in adult Sunday school this morning, be careful what you pray for. Because the Lord may well know that you need some wilderness wanderings to learn that lesson. It may mean that difficult circumstances may be brought into your life to learn that lesson. Life may not be easy for you. Remember what the Lord did with Job, as we looked at a few weeks ago. But our sovereign God, even in the midst of the valley, the heartache, the trial, and the trouble, the Lord our God will walk with you, carrying you every step of the way. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That was the essential lesson that the people of Israel were to remember from their wilderness wanderings. And that is what they were to never forget once they settled down in the promised land as well. And that takes us to the second point of the message then this evening. The people were to greatly anticipate what God would do with them in the future. Listen to how Moses describes that promising future that lies ahead of the people of Israel. Starting at verse 6. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Stop there, congregation. The promised land was indeed a land flowing with milk and honey. And what a contrast Moses is setting up between that barren wilderness that the people knew for the last 40 years and the now promised land that lays just on the other side of the Jordan. In the desert, God had to supply water miraculously for his people out of the flinty rock, verse 15 says. But in Canaan, Moses tells the people there are brooks of water, fountains and springs that flow out into valleys and hills, verse 7 says. In the desert, food was limited and scarce. The choice the people had for the last 40 years was between cooked manna, boiled manna, or raw manna. That was it. While in the promised land, in verse 8, Moses tells them there will be wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey. Can you imagine what such a place sounded like? to these people who for 40 years knew nothing but sand and dust? And so Moses' command in verse 10 should have been easy for these people to follow once they entered the land of promise. Look at verse 10. And you shall eat and be full, this part, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This bounteous, plentiful, wondrous land in which they were going to rest and be satisfied should make it easy for the people then to bless the Lord your God. With this barren wilderness still fresh on their mind, and soon with abundant blessings on every side of them, the people should have never forgotten the true source of their existence. The fact that they enjoyed these things, not because they had worked so hard to earn them, and not because they were such nice people that they deserved them, far from it. No, these blessings were given them all and only because of their loving, gracious, sovereign Heavenly Father. It should have been easy for the Israelites to bless the Lord their God. But you know what, beloved? With great blessing comes a needed warning. A needed warning. Because you see, Moses understands all too well how fickle the human heart is. How easily we forget our Maker in times of ease, preferring to depend upon ourselves instead. And beloved, that takes us into the third point of the message tonight. The people must heed Moses' warning about the very real temptation that is staring them in the face, even while they're still out in the wilderness, concerning the promised land. Listen to how forceful Moses is in giving this warning. Verse 11, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do to you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Stop there, congregation. Notice how Moses repeats in verses 15 and 16 the primary lesson that the people were supposed to have learned from their wilderness wanderings. A total, complete dependence upon God alone for every aspect of their existence, material as well as spiritual. That great lesson was to stay with them and never be forgotten by them, even when the days of ease come upon them. But beloved, here is what we need to remember and perhaps be confronted with in our own life as well. Namely, that days of ease are an even bigger test for our faith than our wilderness wanderings. Did you hear that? Days of ease are a bigger test for our faith than our wilderness wanderings. In fact, ease is often the most difficult test to pass. Beloved, think on why that is. You know, in the desert, you just simply understand you cannot survive by yourself. Of course, you need the help of God. When you're thrown into the bottom of the well in life, it's easy to look up and to confess your need for God. But what about when life is good? What about when you have everything you need and even more? No, Moses understands that this is exactly when the Israelites would be most tempted to set God aside, pat themselves on the back for doing such a good job defeating the Canaanites, living in these nice houses, eating fine fruits of the field. And beloved, this is the exact danger that every human heart faces. Prosperity leads to ease. Ease leads to pride. And pride leads to forgetfulness. And beloved, isn't that exactly what we see going on in America today? A people richly blessed materially with so many different things. A people that once trusted in the Lord, but now can't run away from God fast enough. Moses' words in our text could be America's new national motto. My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You see, beloved, this is exactly why our Lord warned his disciples in Matthew chapter 19, verse 23, that it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Beloved, understand, it's not because God doesn't care for rich people. It's because rich people generally don't much care about God. They already have everything they need. So who needs God? I'll just take care of myself. Beloved, you see, this is all the more reason for us to pray from our heart the full intent of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. And what is that full intent of the fourth request? Our catechism describes it beautifully for us. Please turn to that with me, to Lord's Day 50, the backs of your Trinity Psalter hymnals, if you want to use that, page 895. Or you can turn in those forms books that are before you to page 256. Question and answer 125, Lord's Day 50. Now, as you turn to that, let me also say to you, in the second verse of our text, verse 18, in direct contrast to that first verse of our text, verse 17 that I just read, which tells us about the unbelieving heart, the one who wants to pat themselves on the back for their goodness, in verse 18, Moses summarizes the believing heart, the contrite heart, the heart of a Christian. Verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. You see, that all-encompassing confession is summarized then in the fourth petition, which our Lord commands us to pray. Listen to how our catechism explains this. Question and answer 125. What does the fourth petition mean? The answer comes, give us this day our daily bread means provide for all our physical needs so that, there's three things here, take notice, congregation, so that, first, we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good. That's our first confession that we make. God alone gives us these things, not ourselves. And that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. That's the second truth. The Lord may give us many things, but if we're not using them for his honor and glory, they are a giant waste. Therefore, here's the third truth. May we withdraw our trust from all creatures, all earthly things, and place it in you alone. That's the all-encompassing and yet ever so impactful truth of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Beloved, can you hear that in answer 125, virtually the very same truths are being confessed by us, which Moses was encouraging God's people to remember in Deuteronomy chapter 8. The human heart is really not much different over the course of human history now that it has fallen. This truth needs to be remembered by all people, whether it's 3,000 years ago and the people coming out of Egypt and entering into the promised land, whether it was 500 years ago in the time of the Protestant Reformation when our catechism was written, or whether it is today in materialistic America and how we live our life day in and day out. How easily God's people are tempted with earthly things. So this fourth request, if truly prayed from our heart, will keep our eyes fixed upon our only true hope in life and in death, our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Because, beloved, understand, Jesus is indeed our living bread who came down from heaven and fills our hearts every need. Jesus is the only one who satisfies our hungering soul. Jesus is our manna in the wilderness of life today, who sustains us in a dry and weary land as we live among a people and a nation who have lost their way. Jesus is our only hope to bring us into that true and eternal promised land of rest. For only He is our perfect righteousness. Only He lived a perfect life and died that sacrificial death. And so, beloved, you see, even this simple, basic request for daily bread reminds us of our own helplessness and how it is not at all my power or the might of my hand that sees me through life. No, no, it is only the power and the might of our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. So, congregation, as we conclude here this evening, know that it is Jesus who not only gives us all we need materially in this life, but He also supplies us everything that we need spiritually as well, so that we can stand before Almighty God, forgiven and redeemed in the resurrected life that is yet to come. And so in this fourth petition, it is a brief material request, that is true, but there are tremendous spiritual implications for us. And so as we go out through those doors tonight, as we go out into the world this week, wherever it is that the Lord takes you this week, may we go forth in the confidence of Christ, looking forward to that great land of rest that awaits us, and may we never forget that it is only Jesus who gets us there. This is why we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do give thanks for indeed being that great God who takes care not just of our spiritual needs, but our every physical need as well. Father, I pray that you may teach to these your people that great truth. May they never forget how they are called to serve you each and every day of their life, whether it's going through times of hardship or through times of ease. Father, give them your blessing. May they give you the praise that is alone due your name, and may you lead them and draw them ever closer to their great Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great truth. May you lead us and bless us in it. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.